All right, so you know what that sound means. Either Chloe Kim just landed a frontside 1080, or Scooter Gabe is back. I don't know which, but you're on the guest list here from the studios of WUGA, and the Complete Brain Trust has reconvened with the arrival of Gabe Vodica, fresh from parenthood, right?
Yeah, happy to be back.
Yeah.
Baby's doing well.
Yeah.
Thanks for...
How was maternity leave?
Everything. It's been great.
Yeah. Good.
I believe it's called paternity.
It is.
Oh, paternity. Yeah, that's what I meant, actually. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Gabe identifies with, but
well, that's true.
I just assume
it could be
don't
be maternal.
Never assume.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. True. You know what they say.
Yeah. Well. So how is it? You look well rested, which is kind of odd for young.
I don't feel well rested, but thank you. I guess that means that. I have a natural youthful vigor about me that can make up for any lack of sleep.
You're pulling it off.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
But everybody's good. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Yeah. And of course, Molly joining us with the with the pink wig.
You asked and I deliver.
You challenge these people and they actually listen and they don't back down. So I'm going to see if this goes for the entire season of the guest list.
Yeah. I know this is not a visual medium, but everybody's looking good today. We've got Amber's looking sharp. We've got Chris with the beard, Molly with the pink hair.
Yeah.
And me and my youthful vigor.
Youthful vigor. All right. Well, good.
Molly is a woman of her word. So
that's it.
Maybe we should just take pictures every single time to show our listeners that the pink wig is here to stay.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need some fresh photos for our Facebook page.
Well, that's true.
Every time. So.
And perhaps those photos could be used on the upcoming new guest list t-shirts.
We
could just do like all heads. You know, all of our heads.
Like Mount Rushmore.
Yes. We are the guest list Mount Rushmore of Athens music.
Right. Don't get Molly started on t-shirts.
Actually, I think that could actually fly. That would be okay in my book, I think.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
I'm already sketching.
All right. Well, we always digress in the beginning, but let's try to stay on track here, and let's get back to the music. Gabe, Tiger's Jaw.
Wait, what about me?
What about you?
You didn't introduce me.
Well, we already talked about you. Gabe did.
Thank you, Gabe.
Hey, Amber.
Amber
Give
is
it
here
up
as
for
well.
Amber. Ladies
yes.
and gentlemen.
Okay, now you can continue.
Amber Henderson is with us as always. We can't get rid of her. That's the ticket right there.
We wouldn't want to.
No, we wouldn't.
Thanks, Mom.
Never. In fact, Amber brought gifts today.
He did.
It's true. I got some Skittles over here.
Isn't that great? So nice.
I'm not telling what she gave me.
Oh. Yeah, well.
We're BFF.
I'm sure if you got Skittles, they were the king size bag.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. But back to Gabe's unfortunate condition with Tiger's Jaw. Gabe, how exactly do you treat Tiger's Jaw? What do you do with that?
You head to the 40 Watt Club on Friday, March 2nd, which is where Tiger's Jaw is going to be headlining. Alongside two other bands, and I think you could probably classify all these bands under, we've talked about it before, the emo revival. So Tiger's Jaw is sort of one of the most prominent bands, I guess, in this current crop of kind of emo indie rock bands. And I would say they're a little more polished maybe than a lot of these groups. You hear, like, they don't have as much of the kind of scrappy kind of, you know, old school emo vibe going on. They're a little more kind of pop radio ready.
I like that you're looking at me when you say old school emo.
You know, it's the pink hair maybe that's doing it.
Well, when I first started listening to this, I thought it was Not a Surf, which I think of as not necessarily an emo band, but a pretty polished
that kind of power pop sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Really nice melodies, and they have a kind of a neat thing going on where they have two sort of co-lead singers of the band in Ben Walsh and Brianna Collins, so a male-female kind of thing going on with the vocals, which is neat, too.
Yeah, I saw, actually, the other band that they reminded me of was Saves the Day, who I think came to Athens last fall, Ben Walsh was saying that one of the Saves the Day albums is his favorite of all time.
I read that, actually, before coming over here, and then I listened to that Saves the Day album in the car on the way over here to get me in the emo revival mindset.
Nice. I listened to a Spotify playlist called Emo Forever on the way here.
Wow.
So maybe we're all in that
emo
mindset.
Right now.
Yeah,
we're feeling emo.
I saw one of their songs compared to Jimmy Eat World's Bleed American in like 2001, I believe.
Yeah, you can definitely hear like a lot of that influence in their sound, as opposed to, again, like not so much influenced by like the first wave of emo bands, which was a little more punk, a little more scrappy, and these guys are sort of more influenced by the kind of 2000s polished kind of emo pop sound. Yeah. But it's good. It's good stuff.
Is this the fourth wave of emo? Is that what I saw?
It's at least the fourth wave.
At least. I didn't even know there were waves. It's like feminism. The waves of feminism, but with emo.
That's right. I don't know. It's,
well, it's emo's exactly clearly
like,
here
it's
to
exactly
stay.
Like feminism.
Yeah. And remember, you heard it here first on the guest list, right?
That's right.
Well, you did call us a brain trust. So.
Well, there you go. And let's go ahead and give this track a spin. Strangely enough, the album called The Spin, and this is Guardian from Tiger's Jaw on the guest list.
And they're from Scranton.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so that was Guardian from Tiger's Jaw, who'll be playing the 40 Watt on Friday, March 2nd. And during that, off microphone, we were kind of having a discussion, and I thought that's it was a pretty good question. What makes the emo sound the emo sound? What is that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the lyrics, I guess. This is what sort of characterized the first wave of emo bands. It's like very personal kind of diary-like lyrics. Mm-hmm. But I guess the sound is a lot in the vocal melody. We were talking about kind of the sort of almost whiny, like sing-songy lyrics, like that.
And, that was good.
That was good.
You know, kind of chimey guitars and some minor chord action happening.
All right, so let's move on to Dead Neighbors playing the Go Bar on Saturday, March 3rd. Here's a venue we don't talk much about, the Go Bar. So what's this show going to be like, Gabe?
Well, Dead Neighbors are a great band to see at a tiny club like Go Bar. They have a great energy for an intimate space.
Yeah.
One of my favorite local groups. They're definitely one of the most exciting, I think, Athens bands that are making noise right now. They've been working on this their first proper record for, I don't know, a couple of years at least, and they're finally going to put it out in the coming weeks, and this is, I think, sort of supposed to function as kind of a record release show at Go Bar on March 3rd. These guys are a neat kind of indie rock band that they definitely have that kind of garage rock vibe, but they have these really kind of abstract song structures and that take really unexpected turns, where it's not just a verse-chorus, but they'll have these different parts that kind of come out of nowhere and sort of seems like a little bit improvised, like they're kind of just going where the music takes them, but doing that within the context of like these 3 and 4 minute kind of pop songs. So they're a neat group in that respect. Definitely the vocals are probably not for everybody. Sebastian Marquez, the singer, has this very kind of aggressive, kind of almost rough singing voice, but it's very impassioned, very sort of cathartic sounding.
All right, well, I'm fascinated. Let's give this a listen. This is Drown from the album Less. It's Dead Neighbors on the guest list.
We'll be right back.
All right, so that was Drown from the album Less from Dead Neighbors, who will be performing at the Go Bar Saturday, March 3rd. I like that sound. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Would you describe it as rowdy shoegaze?
That's a very intimate question.
I'm an intimate person, Gabe.
Oh.
I really like the bass line in that song in particular. Mm-hmm. I can hear it a lot better with these headphones than mm-hmm. I could hear it in my home listening setup.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on in this music.
Yeah, and this album was recorded, I believe, with David Barbie at Chase Park, and it's neat hearing their kind of rough around the edges sound kind of rounded out by his production. It's a cool mashup.
All right, Amber, well, tell us a little bit about this next show. Dale Watson is headlining, but we're going to talk about the opening act, Carly Burris. Tell us a little bit about that.
Carly is a singer-songwriter from Atlanta, Georgia. She's toured with acts such as Dwight Yoakam, who we've seen in Athens a lot recently, Keith Urban, and Ellie Holcomb. Her inspirations are kind of that of Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, and she's a huge fan of Kacey Musgraves, so I think she pulls a lot of inspiration from her as well. It's that kind of raw, original country that you'll find in her music, as opposed to like that Nashville pop country we've been hearing on the radio a lot recently. Her music is sassy. It definitely reminds me of Dolly with that humor.
I think Loretta Lynn, too, in that storytelling kind of like, wait, you really have to listen to the lyrics and do a double take.
Yes, yes. So a lot of that wit in her songwriting as well. So this kind of country I grew up listening to. So I was really excited to hear someone young and new making music like this. And she's actually an MBUS alum as well, but the way of Kennesaw University, they have a program there.
Really?
Yeah, so she kind of started getting internships and wanting to play locally, and MBUS is a great way to do that because you have a lot of resources ready available to you, and I think one of her professors actually became her manager. So she's opening for Dave Watson at the Foundry, who has been in the country music scene for like a few decades now. So it's going to be a night of old school honky tonk traditional country music.
Nice. I like the trend in country these days of sort of, there's this group of artists that are sort of, you know, looking back to the past and getting a little more raw and a little more lyrically focused maybe than a lot of the pop stuff. It's neat.
Or rap.
Or the
rap country.
Rap country. Yeah. Which I like some of that stuff too.
Do you really?
I admit, yeah.
Does Taylor Swift fall into that category? Rap country? I'm totally kidding.
I don't know. that's another road.
I hear what you're saying. Like, better than they're not angling for that kind of crossover country pop sound.
Yeah.
They're going back to
classic
country.
I mean, you mentioned like Kacey Musgraves and, you know, and then of course there are folks like Jason Isbell and Chris Stapleton who are doing like the real
Or like
rootsy.
Sturgill Simpson and things like that.
But yeah, it's a cool cool to see country sort of branching off in different directions, modern popular country, that is.
Well, there's not much more true country than the name of this track we're going to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Hire the Hair from Carly Burris on the guest list.
She doesn't even own a comb. So I took her to the beauty shop and threw up a prayer. Lord, please save her from that dreadful head of hair. Cause the higher the hair, the closer to Jesus. Tease it on up, see where it leads you. Maybe to the altar or up to heaven's door. Hair comes a knocking, got a answer for sure. Just to the nine, sitting on the front row, and her hair was huge, just like a hive from bees. She met the Holy Spirit by sheer proximity. Cause the higher the hair, the closer to Jesus. Tease it on up, see where it leads you. Maybe to the altar or up to heaven's door. Just ask Brenda, she ain't a heathen. Well, Cause the higher the hair, the closer to Jesus. Tease it on him, see where it leads you. Maybe to the altar or up to heaven's door.
All right, so that was Hire the Hair from Carly Burris, who will be playing alongside Dale Watson at the Foundry on Saturday, March 3rd, and that should be a great show as well. Yeah, that was some that's some old crooning right there, man. That's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with a song about hair getting higher, that's just saying.
That's right. All right, well, speaking of the good stuff, here coming up next, The Flaming Lips.
I thought you were going to say speaking of getting higher.
Or speaking of big hair.
That all works. The Flaming Lips come into the Georgia Theater on Monday, March 5th. Molly, tell me a little bit about this show.
Wow. Where to start? So I guess I'll give a brief history, and then we'll just talk about how fabulous Wayne Coyne is. So Flaming Lips are a band that formed in Oklahoma City in 1983. And so they've been at it for a while. Their lineup's changed a lot, but Wayne Coyne has been the main driving force, creative force, since the beginning. And you might be familiar with their hit Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, which is a fantastic song about a city government employee with a black belt in karate who's training to defeat the robot army that is inevitably coming to destroy us all.
Of course.
Just your typical
classic
song, right?
Yeah.
They have worked very hard as a band to earn their reputation as a festival cleanup worker's worst nightmare. But I really love what Wayne Coyne has to say about them and how they, like, I think the ethos behind their band, which is that he thinks people would want to know that the Flaming Lips are not really trying to make some calculation of what they think is cool or what's going to be cool. We just do stuff and lose our minds and it works. And that's what art is.
Okay, then.
And I think that is really the best way to, like, sum up who they are and what they do. And seeing them live is like a full-on sensory experience. I've seen their shows described a variety of ways, and it's never anything short of, like, a visual, auditory, and, like, tactile explosion of color and light. And you just never know what you're going to get. Most people don't take on the experience fully sober. And I think even if you didn't head into the show sober, you would feel like you were in an altered state. That's really what they aim for. There's like, there's no place to start describing.
Wow.
They're just fantastic.
It's an experience.
Mm-hmm. And this song we're going to play comes off their most recent album, which has a Polish title, Ocha Moda. And I guess they were saying that the title translates to Eyes of the Young, and he said we would never call it like Eyes of the Young in English, but they heard this expression in Polish and it sounded funky enough that they wanted to use it for their album title. So in it, there's definitely like a childlike sense of wonder that kind of moves through this entire album. They create like vistas and soundscapes with their music. And this like when you listen to this album, it's something like you could have on in the background, or you'd like want to have a black light and just like, sit there and watch shapes and stuff.
Watch shapes and stuff.
Okay,
yeah, like
then.
That. Do you think they're trying to like relive their past in a way with this new album, or
I think they don't have a time continuum like that. I think past is present is future. Like that, they're just all over the place. So it's guaranteed to be an experience.
Yeah,
with a lot of F-bombs.
Yes.
I think the last time they were in Athens was they played a 40-watt show in, like,
whoa,
I don't know, 2003 or 4.
Whoa.
And I wasn't there, but I remember hearing reports that it was just sort of this instantly legendary show. And, of course, the 40-watt's an amazing venue to see somebody like that.
Yeah.
But they did the thing, I think, where they walked over the crowd in the bubbles, the big plastic bubbles and stuff like that.
That's so fun.
Who knows what they'll bring to their Georgia Theater show, but it should be fun.
Probably Miley Cyrus. Well, because yeah. she's on the album.
She is, yeah. Totally, not even joking.
Wow.
There's a great video of Wayne like talking about the album, and he's got like confetti and glitter mm-hmm. all over his face, and his hair is just like all over the place, and he's just looking at the camera like, "What? This is my look.
This is who I am.
This is me."
That's the kind of person I like will never be, but always aspire to mm-hmm. be. The mm-hmm. glitter. The glitter queen.
He wears his glitter on the outside. You maybe wear yours on the inside.
Oh, Molly.
Aww.
This is a very special episode.
Isn't it? Well, let's paint some soundscapes. Here's The Castle from The Flaming Lips on The Guest List. All right, so that was The Castle from The Flaming Lips. They'll be playing the Georgia Theater on Monday, March 5th. And, yeah, that was a visual trip of some sort there, for sure.
Well, and the lyrics, yeah, he's, like, singing about a princess, and her brain is the castle. But then, like, what you don't get when you listen to that song, it's so pretty, and you're just going along with it. But he's talking about how, like, basically her brain gets destroyed, and she stops. Like, there's no rebuilding the castle.
Oh, man.
But you'd never know it to be listening to it. You're just drifting along in this blissful state.
Right.
Watching shapes and stuff.
And people in pink wigs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's all.
And unicorns and wizards, apparently.
Totally.
That's,
yeah. Yeah. Rainbows, sunbeams.
Sure.
I mean, yeah.
Throw it all in there. Why not?
Get it. Lyrical.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to Caroline Rose playing the Caledonia Lounge on March 8th. Tell me a little bit about this show, Amber.
Caroline Rose, she's an artist based in Brooklyn, New York, who is kind of transitioning sounds a little bit, definitely going hopping genres. She's gone from kind of being an indie rockabilly musician to more like synth-oriented pop rock is how it's been described. She said, "I've become more interested in dismantling my ego." So it's the whole idea of being obsessed with being taken seriously. So now she's just like, "I just want to have fun with my music and just be who I am and not worry about, you know, what people think of me or what they think of my music. I just want to do my own thing." So you can definitely see that in her new music, especially her sophomore album. So she's good at tackling issues like consumerism and sexism, but also keeping the music fun and danceable. And her songwriting can be described as darkly comedic, which you'll hear a lot in this sophomore album, Loner, which she actually co-produced, which is so cool. And we're going to play a song from that album called Soul Number 5, and it's just a really fun song.
Yeah, and she's getting a lot of attention right now. NPR has got her on their first listen, and she's been featured on All Songs Considered. And yeah,
really?
She's picking up some good steam.
Like on Consequence of Sound and Pitchfork and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen a lot of reviews for this album, but her music videos are hilarious.
Yeah.
They're super fun.
She reminds me of like a poppier version of Monsoon.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of like a harder edge band here in Athens, but I felt like I was bopping my head a lot when I was listening to this.
Ride a roller, another fame song.
Right.
Fame song.
Cool. Let's take a listen. This is Soul Number 5 from Caroline Rose on the guest list.
Not to be confused with Mambo Number 5.
Right.
On cruising down the streets.
Okay, so that was Soul Number 5 from the album Loner, and that was Caroline Rose playing the Caledonia Lounge on Thursday, March 8th, along with The Nude Party and Ancient Wales. So that should be quite a show. And I like that sound.
Yeah,
that was cool. She's got a great voice.
Mm-hmm. And she's got soul.
Yeah, she evidently does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Number 5 version of it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, sometimes you got to keep working on it till you get it right.
That's right. It's either 5 close to 1 or 5 close to 10. I don't know. Right there in the middle, though, I guess.
We'll have to find out from the emo waves.
All right, let's move on to Shade playing the 40 Watt on Saturday, March 17th. Gabe, tell me a little bit about this show.
Yeah, so another local group on the list here, Shade, actually, and we mentioned Dead Neighbors earlier. This is another instance in where a local band, has been preparing this long-rumored album that we just have not seen for like 2 years, and the Shade album is finally dropping with a release show at the 40 Watt on the 17th of March. Also produced by David Barbie, this record, I believe. So
that guy is busy, huh?
It's busy. He's the one holding up these records. We should ask him about that.
It's only one David Barbie in a lot of bands.
That's very true.
You know?
That's very true.
Well, there's multiple David Barbies, actually.
What?
He has two sons that are pretty much him.
Are they also named David?
No.
Like all of Chris's kids?
No.
Here we go.
Yeah, well, don't get me started.
They help out at Chase Park as well, or work there at least. I know they've done a lot of good work as well, so it was the point of me saying.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But the Shade album also has one of my favorite titles of any local album that I've heard in a very long time, and it's Why Spread Panic.
How about that?
W-H-Y.
Why Spread Panic.
Wow.
Love it.
Wow.
So anyway. Much.
So beyond the title, it's a really solid record. If you've seen Shade, you know they have a great live show. Phelan Lavelle is the front woman and guitarist, and she has this really great kind of psychedelic guitar style that sort of leads the charge for the band. She has these really interesting, sort of almost Eastern-inspired riffs that she writes, and a lot of times she'll match her vocal melody to the guitar melody, so she's sort of doubling the sound, and this has this weird kind of cool chorus effect. And it's this really interesting melody. So that's probably my favorite part of the group. And they incorporate all these neat rhythmic influences to sort of some kind of dubby, jazzy influences in there. So they're definitely not your typical kind of indie rock band. They have a really, really unique sound. And the Why Spread Panic album, I think, really, really showcases it nicely. They've got a little bit of a rejiggered lineup. They have a new bassist, Greg O'Connell, who has joined the group, and they're going to be playing as the trio, the new trio at the 40 Watt. This show is also, it's a release show for Shade, but it's also doubling as a benefit show for a friend of the band, Ash Rickley, who passed away, unfortunately, earlier, late last year, at a very young age, and his wife just had twins.
Nice.
And so,
oh, wow.
The show is going to, all proceeds from the show and I believe from their album sales at the show are going to benefit his family. So
that's
good
awesome.
Cause, good show.
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, let's give a listen then. This is Stay Way Open from that album, Why Spread Panic. Here's Shade on the guest list.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Stay Way Open from the album Why Spread Panic, and that was Shade, who will be playing the 40 Watt on Saturday, March 17th, and you heard it here on the guest list. That's the long-awaited Shade album, so yeah, good stuff.
Reminded me kind of Afropop a little bit, like guitar and the drumming rhythm is,
Very repetitive kind of rhythmic sound. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's St. Patrick's Day.
Hey,
just to note for people who celebrate that holiday.
Right. Some people do.
All of our Irish listeners.
I hear a few do actually get into that.
Yeah, some people like it.
You know what? I'm going to challenge you again. In honor of that, you need to be wearing a green wig next time.
Whoa. Do it.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
There you go.
Okay. I will find one.
I dare you.
It's going to be harder to find one now that Junkman's daughter's brother, sister's cousin, maybe uncle,
twice removed.
Maybe.
Whoa!
Is out of town. But
I'll say brainwave. It's the wig.
I'll find it. Yeah.
Pink
hair.
We got to
do care.
That. We got to do that. All right. So coming up next, Of Montreal playing the 40 Watt on Thursday, March 22nd. Tell me a little bit about this show, Gabe. It's been a while for... Of Montreal show, hadn't it?
It's been a little bit. It seems like we talk about them about every year or so when they kind of pop up for their annual.
It's been 18 months.
Hometown visit. Okay. Yeah.
Check the archive.
Right.
Yeah, play the tape back. They're coming back on the scene here with their latest record, which, again, it seems like Of Montreal puts out a new record every 12, 13, 14 months or so. And everyone is totally different from the last, which is the coolest thing, I think, about this band.
Yeah.
For a while, I guess the last couple records, Kevin Barnes sort of had employed the full band approach more, and they were playing more like of a straightforward kind of rock sound. And for this new record, which is called White is Relic / Irrealis Mood.
You can do it.
is jam-packed with like 6, 7, 8 minute pop tunes, which he recorded mostly by himself. Very much inspired by sort of 80s dance remixes and club remixes and stuff like that. So definitely a lot of propulsive pop rhythms going on the new Of Montreal record, getting back to their roots a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's no surprise that I enjoy a good full sensory experience, but that's one of the reasons I love to see them in concert. You get visual stimulation, the music is incredible, and everyone in that room is just having the best time they've ever had. It's so much fun to see them.
Yeah, it's definitely a spectacle, and the live show is definitely a part of the whole Of Montreal experience.
Yeah, well, especially at the 40 Watt, too, where you're like, it's a smaller, more intimate vibe, but it is a full-on party.
And a lot of the new record, Kevin Barnes is Of Montreal's principal songwriter and frontman, and he, for a long time, has sort of explored these ideas of sort of gender fluidity and stuff like that. But I think the new record is really intensely focused on that topic in particular. So there should be some pretty interesting stuff happening at the show. A lot of costumes.
Wigs.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
We're going to wig out.
You can find your green wig there, man.
Yeah, you get your green wig there. There you go. Yeah.
Except that'll be after St. Patrick's Day.
Too late.
Not, I
mean,
I'm not a time
late.
Traveler yet, but I will work on it.
Yeah,
challenge
try to,
accepted.
Try to do that. All right, well, let's give a listen to something off of this album then. Amber, what are we going to listen to?
Today we're going to listen to Plateau Phase, No Careerism, No Corruption.
On the guest list.
In your driveway, in your driveway. We'll be right back.
Song you just heard was Plateau Phase, No Careerism, No Corruption by Of Montreal.
And they'll be playing the 40 Watt on Thursday, March 22nd. And that's typical Of Montreal sound there, right? Not anything really new going on there, Gabe, you say, right?
Not necessarily. I think it's different than their last couple records for sure. But you can still definitely hear the Of Montreal core sound there.
Okay, so up next, a bit of a departure from the usual way we discuss upcoming shows with this Oconee River Bells benefit concert on March 22nd at the Foundry, featuring Grammy Award-winning banjoist Allison Brown, which of course drew me to try and find out what exactly was a river bell and what was this benefit all about.
An Oconee bell is a little white flower that is in need of protection. And when we were planning the first concert, we knew that Allison was going to be our headliner. And so it's a play on words. An Oconee bell is like the instrument, a bell. But the way we spell it is like a beautiful woman. So it's a play on words. Oconee also, you know, that's where most of our supporters are. And it just rings.
That's Carla Francis. She's the Outreach and Development Coordinator for the Oconee River Land Trust, explaining the reason for the name River Bells. She goes on in our discussion to explain a little bit more about what her organization does and what they mean to the community.
The Oconee River Land Trust works to protect farms, forests, rivers, all types of land in the state of Georgia. So we're a statewide organization based here in Athens. So we mostly work with private landowners, those farmers, those owners of the forest, to help them protect their land from unwanted development, to help them protect the stream buffers, the rare habitats, the wildlife habitat from unwanted development.
She went on to explain a bit more about how it works.
It's not a one-size-fits-all. You work with each landowner. So, for instance, you might have a 200-acre parcel of land, And all the area of the hardwood by a river, say the Oconee River, is untouchable. You can't cut it. You leave the river protected. But on a flatter area near the road, the farmer might have a horse pasture. And that's okay in their home. But the most ecologically important parts of the land are protected, undeveloped. But by being able to live there and work, they continue to contribute to the local economy while all of us benefit from those conservation values, that cleaner water, that fresher air.
So Allison Brown got involved with this event from the beginning, and organizers decided she was a pretty good fit, bringing with her such notable names as Claire Lynch and Indigo Girls. So I asked Allison, why was this sort of thing so important to her?
Well, you know, I am really passionate about conserving wildlife areas, and I think the work that the land trusts do is really, really important, and I've had a chance to play for some land trust benefits here in Tennessee, and when Carla reached out to see if we'd be interested in doing something in Athens, I mean, of course, we're interested. It's something that I think is really incredibly valuable. And there's a tie between roots music and traditional music and the land. And I think it's really, is it endemic the right word? But I think it's really common amongst people who play acoustic rooted music to share that same passion for the land. So this time I'm bringing Rob Ikes and Trey Hensley, who are an amazing duo. Rob Ikes is a 15-time Dobro Player of the Year. And Trey Hensley is still in his 20s. I think he debuted on the Opry when he was 10 years old with Johnny Cash. He's a marvel of a singer and player. Those guys are amazing. And then Sierra Hull and Justin Moses are going to join us too. And, of course, Sierra Hull is two-time IBMA Mandolin Player of the Year. Great singer, great artist, wonderful person. And I'm really looking forward to having all these folks in Athens to support the work of the Land Trust and to put on a great night of music.
So definitely a great night of music ahead with one of the world's greatest banjo players, along with what clearly will be an all-star band as well on March 22nd at the Foundry, and all for a great cause. As we finish up tonight's episode of The Guest List, we'll go out with a little bit of Allison's Grammy Award-winning work. This is Leaving Cottondale. For my good friends Gabe Vodica, Amber Henderson, and Molly Williams, I'm Chris Shoup. You've been listening to The Gabby Award-winning Guest List, a production of WUGA Athens, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. See you next time.